can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, good to have you with us on this lovely, lovely Tuesday for a podcast. Al, what is up?
Oh, hi there, Jerry. I talked briefly yesterday with Eddie on the podcast about voting early and things like that.
Yes.
And it finally hit me yesterday what it reminded me of.
Okay.
So a couple people I know, they voted early, and a lot of them waited in lines. You know, then my sister went to go vote, but the line was very long, and she just said, oh, I'm not going to wait in line. But what this is starting to feel like, because I'm seeing a lot of people voting early, waiting in line to vote early, and these are not people that are not available on election day.
Right.
So, you know, people go, well, what if I am traveling for business? Okay, then you're correct. These are just people that it's starting to feel the same way, like if a big snowstorm is coming, how everyone runs out to the food store and starts hoarding.
And there's no bread left.
And there's no bread left. This is what it's feeling like. Like this idea of like people said to you, oh, Jerry, you're voting early? You're like, no, I'll just go election day. Oh, well, what if there's, I'm voting early.
It'd be crazy that day.
Right.
Yeah.
And so then all of a sudden, now you're like, wait, everyone I'm talking to has voted already. Why didn't I vote yet? I got to go vote.
There you go.
I feel like that's happening. Like it's turning into a storm is coming. This weird group mentality happens where it doesn't sound like anything you need to do. Then everyone in your life is doing it. And you're like, oh my gosh, I better go do this.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know anybody that's gone early.
I don't know anyone who hasn't voted yet.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Well, unless you, of course, Jerry, you haven't voted yet.
I have not yet.
Yeah. I actually feel like if I go on election day, I'm going to have
the whole place to yourself.
Yeah. No one's going to be there.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because to vote early, you can't just go to where you normally vote. There's only certain locations per county where you can vote. So, of course, there's going to be lines there.
Yeah,
because
I got to figure out where I can go. I don't even know where I'm going.
You remember where? Have you moved since?
Yeah. No.
No.
Not since the last one. I don't know. I honestly don't even know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where I'm going.
You can, I think if you Google it, you put in like your zip code.
No, and if you give them your social security number.
Yeah.
Or whatever information they need from you on the government website, they tell you.
I go to the Bradley Beach Fire Department.
Nice.
And I've voted my whole life. I still get confused when I walk in there. I'm like, what is
now imagine,
the buttons?
Now imagine you're 85 and not 55 and trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Because sometimes it's electronic. Yeah. I don't see there was a question.
Hanging
I was
chads.
Yeah. I didn't see there was a question I was supposed to vote on.
I remember the first time I voted, I was confused because there were all these other things to vote for.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if I was required to vote for them to make my vote count.
Right.
And I remember I didn't because I didn't know who anybody was. And I'm one of these people, I am not voting for you if I don't know what you stand
correct
for. I'm not just going to give you a vote for vote's sake. Not happening.
Yeah.
And I think I only voted for, that was President Bush, I believe. And that was the first one I voted for. And I remember walking out. I think I went to it was an elementary school gym. And I was like, I hope I did that right. I don't know if I did that right.
Right. Like, did my vote count? Did I hit enter?
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
You're right. Because that does surprise you the first time.
It does.
You go to vote and it's like, they want you voting for like Congress. You're like, what are these things?
Aside from the
people?
Commercials, which I don't know what I trust anymore. I don't know what anybody stands for. Used to be pretty, I feel like it used to be very black and white in terms of who stands for what, and now it's like all over the map.
Very vague.
It's brutal.
Now we're voting for, I think, personality first. You know what I mean? Like it seems like this person is less crazy than this person, so I'm going to vote for that person.
Yeah, I hear you.
This person's more of a lunatic. Or I also think it's interesting, and I'm seeing this just on the very local level for mayor of Bradley Beach, where sometimes, and I guess this is what celebrity endorsements are supposed to do, you'll see some people that are just regular citizens. They seem a little nuts, and they're voting for one person. Then you go, oh, maybe I shouldn't vote for that person because these people are nuts. And does that mean that that person is attracting nuts?
I guess. I see so many celebrities that are nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, whether it's, I'm not sure who has killed Harris, but I'm sure there have been plenty that have been out there. I see Whoopi Goldberg just killing Trump nonstop, Robert De Niro, and like vulgar, and which is fine. I mean, he's vulgar too when he goes at people. So to me, if you're a celebrity, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I'm trying to think like when, at what age was I when a celebrity would mean something to me? Like, I'm trying to think like when I...
51. I'm kidding.
True, like in the 90s. If Howard Stern was telling me to vote for somebody, mm-hmm. I probably would have voted for that
really?
Person.
I don't know that. I actually don't know that I ever.
Especially if I didn't know enough on my own. And back then, I definitely didn't know enough on my own.
Influenced by a celebrity endorser for an election.
Like, do you think.
I don't think so. I really don't.
Do you think a. How about this one? Do you think somebody like Taylor Swift, she endorses Kamala? Is that an age? Is her audience at an age where that's it might be
influential? Yeah, if you're talking about teenagers, like 18-year-olds, yeah. I think that's very possible. I think it depends on the person.
But it's funny seeing like old guys come out and endorse somebody. Like, no, you're not relevant anymore.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Well, you know what? They may not be to you, but I'm sure someone out there they are relevant to.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't. I just. The more I think back to who I voted for, I don't really think I ever had. An influence at all in terms of who I was. I used to listen to, you know, Imus, and that was very political.
Yeah.
Imus was, I'm trying to think, he was into Clinton the first time, the first go around. Now, I liked Clinton because I thought he was different, and I voted for Clinton also. Which what year was that? Was that 90?
Not sure. 92, maybe?
Yeah. So maybe, you know what? So maybe that was my first voting. 92, because I wouldn't have been old enough to vote for Bush, which would have been 88, right?
Yeah, because 88 was my first year to vote.
So the 92, so Clinton was the first person I voted for, actually. So it wasn't Bush Sr. I voted for Bush Jr., but yeah, Clinton was the first person I voted for then in 92. And that could have been, you know what, I'm sitting here saying no, no, no. Maybe it was the Imus influence. I just thought he was cool. And I thought he seemed like a politician, but he also seemed very hip. He wasn't old.
But also, if you were listening to Imus, like I was listening to Stern, in order for you to probably to enjoy them day in and day out, you probably agreed with a lot of what they were talking about. So maybe you would naturally align with the person.
Maybe. I disagreed with a lot of stuff, too, though.
Yeah.
But yes, maybe subconsciously it had more of an effect than I ever thought. And remember, I also talked to him.
You would actually speak with Mr. Imus.
Bill Clinton.
Oh, Bill Clinton.
Yes, although that was later when he wasn't running.
You talked to him on the phone?
Yeah. That was in 98 when he was, I forget who he was trying to help get.
Yeah, I can't remember. I wouldn't know either.
Might have been.
Al Gore?
It might have been when they were doing the radio tour and they wanted to come on our station and Carlin was the producer. He was out that day. And so I was the producer that got to talk to the president.
That's cool.
Neat. It was cool. It was very cool.
No matter who the president is.
That's still neat.
It's cool to say he talked to he was a sitting president at the time, as they say.
I think he was on his way out.
Yeah. Oh, right? Okay. Yeah. That would make
terms,
sense.
92 and 96. And yeah. Then 98, they started doing the campaign for the 2000. Yeah. So that was an old Astoria.
No, the other funny thing is about everyone voting early. Like, what if, like, today, the candidate you voted for was like, you know what? When I get in office, I'm shutting down all these stupid radio stations. Sure, you'd be like, holy crap, I just voted for the wrong person.
That's true, too. But then again, if you vote for him, he wins, and then all of a sudden he does that. Right. You're responsible for it, too. So.
Yeah.
But you're right. There was still time to change your mind.
And how hard the candidates are, like, pushing this last, they have until election day, right? So especially now, it's a full-on push.
Oh, yeah.
But meanwhile, everything they're doing, now I would think most people know who they're voting for anyway. But I was going to say they're really going for this push, and people are like, yeah, I vote. This would have been great had I known this, but I voted already. Sorry.
That is true, too. And we will see a lot of it, as if we haven't heard a lot of it already.
Yeah.
Real quick, off topic, really. Yeah. Because I thought this, because you think about health and everything so often.
Yes, I do.
So yesterday when I was off, I did leaf blowing in the backyard.
Oh, leaf blowing.
I got to tell you, when I was done, it was, you know, you take your shoes off and all the dirt that's in the air. And I'm wiping my nose and like dirt is coming out of it.
Out of your nose.
And it made me think about, you were telling the story last week when all the dirt blew into your condo from the landscapers.
Yeah, the landscapers blew the dirt right into my condo.
How much dirt did I suck into my lungs yesterday? And if you're a landscaper that's doing that, and I watch, most of these guys aren't wearing masks. How much crap are they putting into their system every day they go to work?
Yeah, little tiny particles of leaves and dirt.
Like, that can't be.
No.
I know it's not, you're not inhaling smoke. I get that. But that can't be good for your inside. I was like, I was really thrown off yesterday. I'm like, I can't do this again without putting a mask on. Like, it was gross. And then there are people that do this for a living that are blowing leaf particles and dirt and dust every day, 8, 10, 12 hours a day.
Yeah. Right. And they're outdoors. I would think outdoors, oh, it's there's so much air that it could be.
You're walking through it, though.
Yeah. You're walking through. One of the jobs I think are like that is like anybody who's doing spray painting.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
The bug people who are spraying the bug
chemicals.
Stuff, chemicals.
Yeah.
Now, I would think nowadays people are wearing masks.
I don't see it.
You're not seeing it. I'm going to take a note of my when
please do.
When I can see the guy blowing the dirt right into my condo.
Because I literally said to my wife, I'm like, I'm going to be sick this week.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way. And I don't know why. I've done this many times, but I never noticed that before. I said, there's no way that my body's going to fight this off because I just ingested, ugh, God knows how much crap went in my nose that literally somehow I sucked down and I, terrible.
I wonder if when you poop, you'll see chopped leaves in your butt.
Okay.
In your poop from your butt.
I was going to go there, but all right.
Probably not.
Oh, let's hope not.
I hope not for your sake, Jerry.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Do you think if you worked at a bakery that you would
get fatter than I am?
Well, do you think you'd be used to the smell of the bakery?
Yeah, you get used to it 100%. I worked at a gas station. You get very used to the smell of that, too. When right, you first get there, it's phenomenal. It's awesome.
I know. Why does gas smell
it just
so
smells
delicious?
Good. Then you get used to it, and it's nothing.
And you delivered pizzas for a while?
I did, yeah.
Did you get sick of that smell?
No, but you get used to it. But I only did that for 4 months, I believe.
Oh, okay. So you weren't really like weathered in there.
Well, I mean.
But your car, you said, smelled.
Yeah, my car got to a point where if you weren't with me, what are you saying?
Like, did it smell like pizza or was it a weird smell because it was pizza that sat in that smell? And did it change the smell to an unpleasant pizza related smell?
No. It never was unpleasant, but it did have a certain air. I mean, if you weren't used to being in my car, I think the smell would probably knock you over at first. For me, delivering pies for 8 hours a day, you get very used to it. You just do. And sometimes I will walk into Romeo's and Hazlitt is a place. If I shut my eyes and walk in, it smells exactly the same way the pizza place I worked at. It's crazy. What's funny about that is Astoria, you were there for a short time. How long were you in Astoria for? 3 years?
2 years.
2 years. Astoria had I don't want to call it odor, but it had a smell to it. I tell you, I went to get coffee at like 7 o'clock this morning, and I walked out, and I don't know why. I've done this route 100 times back to the commissary. I got hit in the face, and it brought me back to Astoria. The smell, I don't know if it's equipment. I don't know what it is, but for a brief moment, I smelled it, and I thought I was walking down that hallway. It was a big square. For a moment, I thought I was walking down that hallway going back to that coffee little stand by the lockers. Yeah, it was weird.
Smells can be very memory producing.
Big time. No doubt. No doubt.
Especially if you can't like be like, where is this smell from?
Yeah.
Like, I know it smells so familiar to me.
Yeah, no question.
And then certain smells give me an immediate headache. Like certain colognes people wear, or like if a woman comes into the studio to watch the show, or a man and they got some sort of heavy cologne situation. Woo.
The only thing that gives me an immediate headache, and I don't know why this is Budweiser beer. Regular Budweiser. I can drink Bud Light, no problem.
So you have the opposite.
That's funny. Budweiser, I can't drink, literally, and this has been 7 or 8 times, within half the beer, I get whatever is in it, a splitting headache.
And you think it's the same stuff that's in Coors Light and Miller Lite.
You would think, but I don't have the effect with the other ones.
Do you think you could, if I put various light beers in front of you could tell the difference between them? If I told you, here's one of these is a Coors Light, one of these is a Miller Light, one of these a Bud Light.
That's a good question.
And you're not allowed to wait for a headache.
The only one I think I would be able to tell the difference from would be Michelob Ultra, which I drink a lot. It's a very thin beer.
It is thin.
I don't know that I'd be able to tell the difference between Coors Light and Miller Light. I don't know. I doubt it. And Bud Light, if I got a headache.
Yeah, we would require you to make a decision before the headache kicked in. Like, you would need to...
Yeah, I don't. I haven't had Bud Light in so long.
Yeah.
I don't know. That'd be fun to do, though.
Beer taste test?
Yeah. That would be fun. Yeah, and blindfolded.
Also, I think when you visually don't have... when you don't have the visual, it changes. Like, if I'm trying to think, like, if I put in front of you... Let's say I put what's the thick beer you get with an orange?
Guinness, with an orange?
Blue Moon.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
if
yeah,
I put
yeah.
a Blue Moon and a Guinness,
mm-hmm.
but you were blindfolded and couldn't see, you couldn't see the orange, you couldn't see the deep brown, could you tell the difference?
Me, no, because I don't drink those beers. So I wouldn't know.
That would throw you off.
I wouldn't know what either tastes like, to be quite honest. I haven't had a Guinness since I worked in the liquor store in 1996. I don't know. I would be able to tell the difference between a Guinness and a Coors Light.
That you've had.
For sure. And everything about it is different. But I wouldn't... No. If you gave me like two or three different... Like a Harp. Isn't a Harp a dark beer?
I think so.
If you pick like two or three dark beers, I would not know what any of them taste like. I don't know.
If you're going out to a restaurant...
Yeah.
Then you're going to have beers. And the restaurant has a wide variety of bottled beers
mm-hmm.
and a wide variety of draft beers.
Okay.
Are you going draft beer?
I like draft when I go out. Yeah, I do.
I always pick the draft too, but then every once in a while I hear a story where they go, oh, this place, they didn't clean the lines
yeah,
and
the
glasses are dirty. I'm like, yeah, why am I not getting a bottle? But when I get a bottle, I feel like I could have got this in the store.
Correct. There's something different about draft beer. I don't know why. It's,
yeah.
like, it's also like fountain soda to get
yes.
that. It's different. I don't
it's
know.
A different ratio.
It is. Of syrup.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know what syrup is in beer, whatever that is, barley
yeah.
and hops
and
to
wheat,
my water.
Yeah.
But yeah, it doesn't feel like you're getting anything if you buy a bottle.
What's funny about the beer, because you're bringing back memories now, in terms of what they do, what the different ones taste like, marketing and advertising is amazing. Because do you remember Pete's Wicked Ale?
Yes.
Do you know Pete's Wicked Ale? We would have a major surge in sales in October. We sold it all year round. No one would buy it, though. In January, you would have a couple of customers, don't get me wrong. But it was like October hit. Oh, Halloween, got to get Pete's Wicked Ale. Okay, it's the same beer that we had sitting here 6 months ago, but it wasn't good enough. But Halloween, you got to get the Pete's Wicked Ale. So funny the way we do different things and we basically trick ourselves.
Yes.
Like it tastes different now because it's a, like I get the whole Dunkin' Donuts with the pumpkin spice latte. That tastes different. It's pumpkin. It's Halloween. Pete's Wicked Ale was beer, but it was really cool with the imaging and
yeah.
the photos and all that stuff.
I know Sam Adams always does different.
Sure.
Summer ale.
Oktoberfest.
Yep. The yep. regular Sam Adams.
Yep.
Sam Adams.
What was the one they did Boomer and Carton? Remember they had a beer?
Smithwick's.
Oh, that's what it was.
Smithwick's.
I think I have one bottle left, I believe. That's
I
right.
still have a six-pack in the office.
Do you really?
Yeah. It's just well, been cool. sitting there.
That is neat.
Whenever I have a Sam Adams, I think of Opie and Anthony. Just because we always used to have... Sam Adams was a big advertiser,
sure.
so there were always cases
no,
of
nice.
Sam Adams at work.
That's pretty good.
So you'd have Sam Adams.
That's pretty good.
But I'm that whole taste just reminds me of that whole era.
Right, and then back to taste and smell.
Yeah.
Like it's even like, and again, this is more advertising probably than anything, but when I have a Corona, and usually at home, I don't even put the lime in anymore, but if I do, if I shut my eyes, the smell and the taste, it you feel like going on vacation. You do. Like,
so then is that a beer you would have in December?
I would.
You would.
But there's something different about it when you drink it outside, and it makes no sense. When it's 85 degrees and
yeah,
sunny,
yeah.
you're outside with the Corona. It's just, again, marketing, I'm sure, is what it is. But it is. It's incredible how you have. It's like if I go outside and you give me a Miller Lite in a can, boring. You give me a Corona Light with a lime outside, oh. It's fabulous.
Yeah. Now, when you worked at the liquor store, did you sell more Coronas in the summer than you did in the winter?
100%. Not even
yeah.
close. Not even close.
I also think of like Land Shark. There's no way anyone's buying a Land Shark in January around here.
The stereotypes, trends, whatever word you want to use, were pretty true. you would get the older guys would come in, and whatever beer was on sale that week, for, if I remember correctly, a case of, well, actually the 20, the 18 packs, the 18 packs came out, then the 24 packs, but the cases were still the big deal. I believe we would sell on sale a case of Coors Light, Bud Light, but $9.99, I believe what the deal was. The older guys would come in every week and just buy whatever beer was on sale. In the summertime, it was Corona, and it was the younger crowd that was buying the Corona. The 20-year-old, 25-year-old girls were coming in for the Bartles and James and the Seagrams. This is long before anything else.
Now it's White Claws.
Now, you know, I think they're even out now, too. I think it's more the no carbonation, the iced teas and the lemonades that have really taken the market by storm. But yeah, exactly. And then you would have what I would call the distinguished men would come in for their expensive bottles of tequila, the Absolutes. It was just weird. Like, you could tell when someone walked in what they were going to go buy.
And if it was completely different, you were probably surprised at the counter.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
This person's getting a fine brandy.
Correct. If you saw a guy come in that looked like he was a mess and he went and bought a $50 bottle of red wine, it's like, really? I had you pegged for Schlitz. You know, and that's not, it's just that's what you saw most of the time. Guys would come in and they would buy the cheap beer. Just, yeah, it was funny, man. Really funny. Mm. And then the Mad Dog 2020 crowd, which was a weird, they were always, in my experience, it was always that pint of Mad Dog 2020, pack of Marlboro Reds.
There's a weekend, Jerry. That was, let's go.
Yeah, that was often. That was
couple
often.
Of. Man, you sold that. So at the liquor store, you sold cigarettes.
Lottery tickets.
Alcohol, lottery tickets. You had all the vices there.
We did, yeah. Not a great place to be.
I wonder if they sell nowadays the fake boner pills like you get at the gas stations.
I think some do. I think the nicer liquor stores don't. Like,
they're like, we don't sell these boner pills.
Yeah, like there's a place called the Wine Cellar. It's a very upscale liquor store.
Yeah, that sounds too nice.
I don't think they're selling that stuff. But I think the mom and pop places, if they can make a buck, I think, yeah, like why not put it on the counter? I could see it. I always like this time of year working in that store was always a lot of fun because once you hit November, all of a sudden you started decorating for Thanksgiving. And then that weekend after Thanksgiving, we would turn the store around for the holidays. And it was just a fun, you got a lot of people that never came in. You got new customers that were coming in for gifts and gift baskets. And it was just such a, like, that's the one feeling, I guess I get it clearly with my kids in school, but that's the one feeling I haven't had while we turn things around a little bit here. Working in retail around the holidays was different.
Yeah.
It was very different.
I did always like to go, if you went into a liquor store around that time, you'd see the gift sets,
yes.
Right? So it's like if Jack Daniels put out this, you get a Jack Daniels and two really cool engraved glasses, like that was cool.
Yeah, and we used to sell out of those. It would be so funny when we'd be open on Christmas Eve until 5. The amount of people that would come in at 4:30, you don't have any gift baskets? We had them for 4 weeks, jackass. We sold out. Like, you needed to be here at 9 a.m. this morning to get whatever scraps we had left.
Yeah.
And people would be stunned that we didn't have stuff to sell. No, we're pretty empty at that point. It was funny.
Yeah, those gift sets are cool.
And then conversely, we would come in on January 2nd to work. It was so depressing. It was like the year was over. No one was coming in except for the diehards that you felt bad for. And it was just quiet. People were hungover. What an awful day to work. It's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the day after all the fun is over.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Exactly now it's right. Just going to be the regulars.
Yeah.
Regular crowd shuffles in.
Pretty much.
All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up program. When we come back here tomorrow, what's tomorrow, Wednesday?
Yeah, it is Wednesday.
Hopefully the Yankees aren't eliminated.
I think you'll do the podcast with Eddie tomorrow.
Oh, is that right?
I'm playing golf with Boomer and Gio. Unless I was taken out of the group, but I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
So I think I'm bolting out of here at 10 tomorrow.
Okay. Well, then we'll mix it up with Eddie Scazzeri. We'll just mix it right up.
There you go.
Soon.